First Thessalonians chapter 5, and we have several scriptures I want to look at tonight, but I want to the theme as we sing, you know, the faithful, you know, great is thy faithfulness. I just want to look here, First Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 24, it says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle to read unto all the holy brethren. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." But the 24th verse there says, "Faithful is he that calleth you." And the key here is we're looking at God's faithfulness. This was a reminder to me when I first was looking at these passages long time ago, and I come back to this, and we're just looking at the fact that God is able. God is able. When we're not able, God is. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound in every good work." And he's able to work things out for us, isn't he? I mean, even when we are not sure, when we need something to get done, or something, we're under a time crunch, or if we're having a problem, God works it out. And he's always found faithful. And that's a blessing. That's something we can shout about. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're just looking at a few different verses throughout the scriptures that deal with the faithfulness of God. It's just a little reminder tonight. And a little reminder, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and this is when we are tempted. "There hath no temptation," verse 13, "taking you such much as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." So when we face tough, sometimes we're being tested. Temptation, the difference between testing and temptation is God tests us. He doesn't tempt us to sin. The book of James is very clear about that God is not able to tempt us to sin, but he tests us. He tests our faith to see where we're at. But the devil tempts us. And when a temptation, and his goal is to get us to sin. So when we see 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we see that there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. It's what we deal with in our flesh. Every one of us have a temptation in our life. But it says God is faithful. He's faithful in the fact that he always gives us a way of escape. And one of the perfect examples in Scripture that I've used many times and look back is the life of Joseph. When he was tempted with Potiphar's wife, Joseph wasn't looking to do anything wrong, but she was really watching Joseph. And would the day come when there was no man in the house, and she tried to tempt him, and he did exactly what he was supposed to do. God gave him a way of escape, and he ran. Now, with that came consequences. He was thrown in prison for false accusations, but the Lord used it. And through that, and through the visions, we know that later on he was elevated to second in command in Egypt, and of course to help his own people. But God is faithful all the way through that. Throughout Genesis, we can read that God was with Joseph. It's just a good reminder. It helps refresh the fact that we can trust God. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." But what's it say there in verse 3? It says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." In those times that I've been in some pretty crazy situations in my life, and usually because of my own craziness or my own bad decisions, but God's protecting me through those things. He's our protection. The Lord is faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I guarantee you won't fall asleep on me tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. because I'll keep your fingers busy. Just a few scriptures. It's good to see what God says in His Word. It says in verse 8, chapter 1 of verse 8 of 1 Corinthians, it says, Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's just a continual reminder throughout the Scripture. The Scripture is loaded with scriptures about God being faithful. And this one just happens to be that we may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes back, are we going to be so found doing as being faithful but blameless? 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. These are just some scripture I wanted to lay out here. We got a few. In verse 13, it says, if we believe not, yet He, speaking of God, abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Even when we fail, and we do, God's still faithful. He's still who we are. He says He is going to be. As we looked at the life of Abraham here recently, he failed a few times, but God did not. He did not stop being God. He was always found faithful. God always did what He said He was going to do. It's man that fails Him. But then we see, and you don't need to turn there, I'm just going to read it, in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, it says, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? And He's proven Himself. All the way through the Scriptures, God is always found faithful. And we can praise Him for that. Chapter 10 of Hebrews. Chapter 10 of Hebrews, starting in verse 23. Give you a moment to turn there. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And then that little phrase there again says, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, and not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And as we see things unfold in today's world, and we see all of the craziness going on around us, and now, as my wife was telling me, and I did see it in the news, I see the news clips every once in a while from Q2, there's a shortage of baby formula across the United States. But there's really not a shortage, it's just they're recirculating the formula, all they said, to the border for all the illegals coming in. So they can give them. I don't understand that. I'm not here to go political at all, but it's just, this is what they're doing. They're trying to start. I mean, this is how they, when we had first COVID hit, we had a shortage of water and toilet paper. Who would ever guessed? You know? I mean, we look at these things, but in the end, we know that God's going to be faithful. We don't have to worry. I have a couple friends that are, I can't remember what they call themselves. They're preparing for the end times. They're preppers, yes. They called me. I had him call me up the other day. He spent a ton of money on things because things are going to get bad. And he's got a small house, and I don't know where he puts it all. But he spent a ton of money, and he got rid of everything. He sold a vehicle, and now he took that money. And he was telling me, man, we need to stock up on food and canned goods. He says, Winco has big bags of rice that we can have so we don't run out of something to eat. And I'm just thinking to myself, and he won't hear me when I try to tell him that the Lord will take care of us. Truly, I don't believe. I believe in the pre-trib rapture. And I believe before things get bad, truly, first of all, I think God's going to take care of us. He has taken care of us, and He does. He's faithful. But I also believe that we're not going to be here when everything breaks loose. I just don't believe that. And I know sometimes we look at things and it's like, man, are we really going to do some, you know, see some hard things? But God continues to show Himself faithful. And that's something we got to look at. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, since you're right there. Verse 11, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. We remember back in chapter 18 of Genesis, where God, I believe it was the pre-incarnate Christ, or a Christophany, they call it, where he come down with the two angels. I believe when Abraham was communing with him, and he says that this time next year, Sarah is going to have a child. And she laughed. And she was asked about it, and she lied about it. But now, through all of that, she judged him faithful who had promised. See, God kept his word. No matter what failure, we know Abraham submitted, listened to his wife, took Hagar, they had Ishmael, which was out of God's plan, but God still kept his word. He was faithful. Then we see in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. It says, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." Do we trust God to save our souls? Do we trust the fact that he's keeping us until the day he comes back to get us? He's a faithful creator. We can thank God for that. We are to commit the keeping of our souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. I don't go around every day in my life worrying about where I'm going to spend eternity, because the Bible tells me where I'm going to spend. We can stand on that. We can take it to the bank, and it's a promise. God's going to keep us. He's faithful. Then we're going to go back to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and then we're going to look at a couple different verses here. Verse 5, it's actually starting in verse 1. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb." Do we not sometimes lose focus and we start seeing things around us, and it's like almost like we wish we had what somebody else had, and we see what the world, it's almost like the world is blessed and they have all these things, but then I start looking at it, just as we are talking about vehicles, they're paid off, we don't have a payment. And the world, I know somebody, I was talking to somebody, they had a brand new Ford, it's beautiful, it was given to me, I'd take it, but his payment was over $1,000, $1,100 a month, just for a payment. And but the Lord's blessed us. All of our vehicles have high mileage, and the Lord's blessed us and kept things running. And when something needs fixed, he's always provided the money to do so. So we can praise God for that. "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." That word commit simply means to roll over or roll upon, as it talks about in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, "Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And that's what we need to do, is we need to commit it upon him. "Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." We just need to rest in him. Give him all the worries and allow him to take care of things. He's found faithful. Verse 7, it says, "Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." So we can look at that and realize that, hey, there was a time I was looking for a newer truck and all that, and then I started realizing, you know, what I have is pretty nice. I started seeing some of the prices and realizing, started looking at some of these trucks and the prices, and it's like, my truck's nicer than this. I mean, it's just, I can't imagine the prices they get out of stuff. But we need to be content with what God has given us. And that's something, we lose focus of that sometimes. We're human. The Bible does say that 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He is faithful. He's always going to be there. He's going to follow through. Revelation chapter 21, you can turn there. Revelation chapter 21, just a few books over. This is a fun study if you sit down and look up faithful and it's go through and how many times it comes up with God in the phrase, with it. God is faithful. But Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5, it says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto them, Write, for these words are true and faithful." And then we see in chapter 22 and verse 6, so his words are true and faithful. And then we see in 22 and verse 6, it says, "And he said unto them, These things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." Again, faithful and true. We see that time and time again. It talks about in Psalms 40 and verse 10 about thy faithfulness and thy salvation. In Psalm 88 verse 11, it talks about thy faithfulness. Psalm 92 and verse 2, thy faithfulness. Continually throughout the scriptures, and this is not all of them. The last one we want to turn to is Psalm 89 and verse 1. Psalm 89 and verse 1. Psalm 89 and verse 1. This is also a song you can sing. It's we sing the first several verses there. It says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known of thy faithfulness to all generations." And then it says in verse 5, it says, "And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints." And then verse 8, we look at the same chapter there, verse 89, verse 8. "O Lord God of hosts, who is strong, Lord like who is strong like unto who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness around about thee." And then it goes on and talks about it. It says, "Thou rulest the raging of the sea, when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them." And we've seen that in the New Testament where he said, "Peace be still," and the storm was gone. "Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them." And it just goes on and talks about the greatness and the mightiness of God. Mm-hmm. But the key factor here is he is faithful. That's his nature. That's who he is. He can't be nothing but faithful. And we should thank God for that. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever." It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I believe the Lord would have us tonight, as I think about, I've been reading about, studying for other things, and just thinking about how grateful we ought to be and how thankful we ought to be. And I just want to give everybody an opportunity, if you want to do so, and I'll start. But just to give the, you know, testimony to how good the Lord has been and thankful. First of all, I just want to thank the Lord for my salvation. And